Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hello and welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into the show. Today's episode is a part of a special series because we're podcasting live from Working Mother Media's Work Beyond Summit in New York City at the Marriott Marquis. So when you hear all the noise behind us, it's because this conference is just filled with people and we're hustling and bustling. The conference itself focuses on work-life balance with a lens on evolving next-generation strategies and also salutes the 2017 Working Mother 100 Best Companies. Okay, now to my special guest. Today, Jennifer Allen is joining us. She's a diversity strategy leader at PwC. She's responsible for designing initiatives to retain, develop, and advance diverse professionals at her organization. As a recognized D&I subject matter expert, Jennifer has been widely quoted in the media, and she also hosts a podcast called Pursuit of Happiness, which is a PwC podcast that explores how people juggle work and everything else. Jennifer, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. Thank you for having me.
Well, such a pleasure, and I'm really psyched that you're a podcaster. So I do want you first to talk a little bit about your role at PwC, and then feel free to go right into your podcast.
I'm so excited. Any opportunity to pitch the Pursuit of Happiness. So, you know, I lead all of PwC's diversity strategy for the U.S. firm. I also spend about 20% of my time on global. And, you know, sometimes I tell people I have the best job at PwC because we're really focused on how can we take the talents of our 50,000 professionals and create a culture where all of them can achieve to their utmost potential. And so we really think differences matter. They matter to us in terms of our identity differences, but also our roles in the organization. And diversity is just a wonderful platform to really talk about the things that matter most in our lives.
That's awesome. I mean, it sounds wonderful what you're doing. And differences do matter. I mean, I can't imagine everything being the same. Let's embrace our differences and do
Absolutely.
Something with that.
And then how do we leverage the power of those differences? Because I do think sometimes we are automatically attracted to similarity. So we rolled out something that we call blind spot training to all of our firm. And we talk about some of the unconscious biases that we see in the workplace over and over again. And one is the similarity effect, right? I'm attracted to people who are like me because there's that instant familiarity, which leads to comfort and then to trust. And that can be okay, right?
Sure.
That's not necessarily a bad human dynamic, if you will. But it's a problem if we don't see talent in the people who are really different from us. And how are we consciously and intentionally thinking about, you know, is our network diverse? Are we giving the same opportunities to all members of our team? Who are we going to lunch with every day? And to sort of be conscious about that and intentional, because that's how we're going to have more productivity at work and get to the best solutions for our clients.
Right. I think you do have to be intentional and think of how much you grow as a result of different people and the experiences.
Absolutely. And I think PwC is an extraordinary place just in terms of the diversity of our talent, right? From our business perspective, from an educational perspective, and then obviously from all the dimensions of diversity, like race and gender and sexual orientation, that are really important to us.
Sure. So the podcast for PwC, Pursuit of Happiness, how did you start that?
Yeah, so we do a lot of different events, and obviously we've been close to Working Mother for years, trying to do panel discussions that talk about the reality of how people are succeeding at that juggling act. And some of the feedback that I had gotten was that people felt like we weren't admitting to the stress of it, sort of the messiness of life,
right,
the pain that sometimes involved. And how could we tell stories in a more compelling an actually intimate way. And I'm a huge fan of podcasts in my personal life. I have tons on my phone.
Me too.
Exactly. And I think that audio, without having to be distracted by looking at someone, actually allows you to go a little deeper into really being present for someone's story. So we pitched the idea of Pursuit of Happiness. And what we wanted to do was profile different PwC professionals who were grappling with different things, different stages, and really go deep into their story. So go to their homes, meet their children. Yes, I have an intrepid producer who works with me to make me sound official. And we go visit and we go to their workplaces and talk to their colleagues and their bosses. And then try to really take one topic at a time. So, for instance, we had a PwC partner in our LA office who's gay, and we interviewed his husband, Drew, and their two twin boys. And we actually went out there to say, you know, you're a modern family. And what, of course, was so insightful was they're actually quite a traditional family in terms of all of the things that they're grappling with. It just happens to be two dads.
Right.
And that was a really moving story. We talked to one of our African-American new hires in Florida about new beginnings. And this was the first time that Shaquille had ever lived in his own on his own in his own apartment. And he was starting his career. And he talked about his work family and that the people on his engagement team really provided that sense of like warmth and connection that he needed. And this team ate lunch every day and we went and followed them around and talked to them, how do you create that work family so that people can really succeed? Anyway, we have numerous stories. And then in between, I interview experts who can really say, what are some of the best practices, if you will, about how people juggle more effectively and sort of take on those stresses and strains that we all know we are all experiencing.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful podcast. I love that you're using your own people for their stories, and then you bring experts as well.
It's been really fun. I got to say, Deirdre, it's my favorite project. And I find podcasting, again, just such a different way to tell a story. And I feel like now our attention spans are so limited that video now, you know, my communications people will say it can't be longer than a minute. And I'm like, well, that's great, but nobody can say anything in a minute. So these sort of, you know, 12 to 15 to under 20 minute sort of storytelling vehicles, I think have been really popular.
Makes a lot of sense. And I was talking about this before with another guest, but it is that amount of attention, and it's perfect. You know, that is a nice time frame to get a good story.
Well, one of the things that I'm going to talk about this afternoon at the breakout session is an initiative that PwC has called Be Well, Work Well. And I think we're trying to transform the metaphor from managing time, right? That we all have limited time, everyone's super busy, to managing energy, right? So it's not about balance, it's about energy and renewal. And we've collaborated with the Energy Project, which is a fantastic resource and website that I encourage all your listeners to go check out. And basically their argument is there's four domains of energy. So the physical is the part that we all kind of know, but what they tell us, which is so important, is that in order to have more time, many of us do things that negatively impact our physical energy. So we don't sleep because we're trying to get more into the day. We don't eat, or we eat at our desks and skip meals. And all of those things actually reduce our productivity.
Right.
So in the long run, they are negative in terms of what our goals and alignment are. So physical energy is something where we really have to take nutrition, sleep, exercise quite seriously if we want to be productive in the long run.
So is this your session beyond the physical?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so the other three domains of energy, which we, so again, physical is one that we kind of get, but the other three that we don't pay enough attention to is mental energy. And this is where, again, we think that positive emotions really drive resilience, productivity, happiness at work, better collaboration with your colleagues. And one of the things that the Energy Project has found is you really can only focus on something in terms of a work project for about 90 minutes. And then you need to take a break. And have you ever been in one of those meetings where you're trapped in a conference room for 8-10 hours
yes.
and nobody takes any breaks
no.
except to go to the bathroom?
Right.
And what they say is, you know, the brain, while we think multitasking is this amazing way to create more time, right? I'm going to do three things in this hour at once. I'm going to have this phone call and I'm going to check my emails and then I'm going to be listening to something else. In fact, you're not present for anything. So you're not doing your work productively. So this whole mental energy piece is really focused on how can we increase our focus, right? If attention is sort of a muscle, How can we work with that in a better way? And I think that that's really, really important, and that people need to consciously think about as they're being resilient and thinking about their day and what they're really focused on. So we want people to be focused on their physical energy mm-hmm. and more attentive to it, their mental energy, then their emotional energy, right? How do I feel during the day?
Yeah.
Like, what makes me happy? What are the tasks that really drain my energy and my emotions? How can we have more positive interactions with our colleagues at work, right? Part of that is sharing our stories.
Sure.
And that's also why Pursuit of Happiness was about people want to look at role models. Who's juggling effectively? Who's making choices and trade-offs that they're happy with rather than they're feeling stressed or unhappy about? So we talk all about emotional energy, and we have a habit bank where people can actually put in, it takes, 21 days supposedly to change a behavior and make it into a habit that actually sticks. And so there's lots of suggestions for that sort of emotional energy, connecting to what brings you joy. Again, and that's why from the work-life field, it's so important that people pursue things outside of work that give them energy. So whether it's volunteering, whether it's connecting with their community, whatever it is that brings you joy, whether that's yoga, that's wine tasting for some of us, whatever it is, right? We have to balance those two domains. And then the final domain of energy is spiritual. And from our perspective, the spiritual is about connecting to something bigger than yourself, right? What is your purpose? What is that bigger picture agenda? So that when you're walking through your day, you can say, okay, I'm an accountant and I'm crunching numbers.
Right.
Or you can say, I am a guardian of the capital markets. And that is a really important role in society. And at PwC, we did a lot of work around our own purpose, and we determined it was really to build trust in society. Right? And to solve important problems. And going through your day with that lens, with that frame, I think just, again, elevates you. Absolutely. There's no way that it wouldn't. And then obviously people pursue spiritual purpose, in all sorts of religious or faith-based ways, in family, in terms of their relationships, their connections. Again, to that bigger question of what do we want to see in the world and how can we be part of it?
Well, that's really interesting. Do you think, clearly is working at your company, what you're doing. Is this hard for an organization to do?
I think we want to change the conversation.
Right.
Because when the conversation is all about time and that we're all stressed and we're too busy, it's hard to say what the answer is. And I think that what we found as transformational in this work is that resilience, energy is renewable, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we want to build, all of our people are professionals, right? They're highly educated. They have a lot of autonomy. Their role is to solve problems for our clients. And so they have to be equipped to do that. One of the email messages that came out recently about Be Well, Work Well is the tagline was, you spend more time worrying about your computer's battery than your own.
Right, you should be worried about your own battery.
What's your battery? What brings
energy
you energy?
Level.
Yes. So we have an energy audit where mm-hmm. you can test how you are in the four domains. Some people have been scoring very low. And I think that that's a wake-up call, if you will.
Yeah.
That then, okay, then let's make a plan. Let's have a strategy. If my emotional energy is the place where I feel the most depleted, what am I going to do about that? Right? And, it's incredible to me how many people just aren't attentive to those things, focusing on the tasks that bring you the most joy early in your day, right?
Yeah.
How do we manage that? How do we sequence time so that we're thinking about our energy?
So that speaks to education, because I would think that most employees would just wake up every day. They know what they need to do in their role and what their challenges are going to be. So how are you educating so that people understand that it is beyond the physical?
Yeah, so this is a big campaign, and we started with the energy audit so that people could see, have a baseline for where they are. We are doing live events. We're incorporating Be Well, Work Well elements into our training. So we have lots of mandatory technical training, and we're taking breaks, and we're saying, this is the break where we don't want you to go and check your email. We want you to walk around. Having walking meetings is a very new thing, right? Around trying to say, we want our physical and our mental and our emotional energies all connected, right? And engaged at the same time. We're doing some yoga at these meetings, right? To say, let's get centered before a meeting. What's our purpose? What's our intention? How can we have shorter meetings? Our CEO, Tim Ryan.
Everybody loves shorter meetings, definitely.
Oh my goodness, he's a big fan of that, which is who needs to be involved in this discussion? How can we make it fewer people rather than more? Because we're all trying to do things. I feel like email in particular has been a distraction that our people really struggle with. The notion of responsiveness means right. that I just have to be instantaneously responding to anything that you ask for me. But that really diminishes my long-term capacity to think,
mm-hmm.
to
step back and think and connect
yeah,
the dots.
Yeah, to have that bigger picture, to write, to analyze, to solve problems. If I'm constantly just on my device or on my phone or on my laptop responding to email. So email free times, sort of where you can even put it in your out of office. I'm not checking email for the next 4 hours because
That's
I'm thinking.
Smart.
Right?
And who doesn't want an employee to be thinking?
Well, how to create some boundaries. I think that sort of 24/7 technology is so extraordinary in terms of what it's allowed us to do, collaborate, communicate with more people. But it also has created, I think, some dysfunctional dynamics.
Right.
That are, again, anti-productive, not aligned to our long-term goals.
Exactly. And I think that technology has us jumping into different things and multitasking. And like you said, feeling the need to always be responding. And that's hard.
Well, and it's not proactive, right? It's what's my agenda today versus am I being pulled in everyone else's direction, just responding to whatever's the most urgent on their to-do list.
Exactly. And then you're not, as the employee, you're not achieving your own goals, and that can be tough.
Or the firm's big goals, right? Sure. What are the bigger picture goals that we're trying to achieve?
Yes. No, it all connects. It plays a part. So there are people who naturally will feel that stress or have tension or maybe not feel as emotionally stable as they should in a day. Are there tips or are there ways that people can kind of feel better? What would you recommend?
Well, I think that, you know, when it comes to mental well-being in particular, I think storytelling is critical. Our UK firm really took this on, and they started an event where they had panel discussions, senior people sharing episodes where, for instance, they struggled with depression or they struggled with challenges at home. And how did they resolve that? And how did they draw on their colleagues' strength to not have it be stigmatized that we all deal with all these issues, right? I think sometimes people feel like in an effort to have privacy, it's sort of like we're not communicating about the things that really affect all of us. So I think elevating the storytelling, which Pursuit of Happiness is also trying to do, trying to showcase success stories and not say that everyone just has it all figured out, but everyone's struggling with similar things. They're making choices. They're making trade-offs. They're revisiting some of those decisions and saying, it doesn't work for me now, right? The course of a career is long. So sometimes the strategies you used at the beginning aren't the same as you would use at the end. So how do we get more of those stories out there? We have a very robust initiative around people with disabilities,
yeah.
and we call it Ability Reveals Itself, which is the tagline, because we want to make it a positive thing, that we all bring lots of differences to the top of my points, and that we want to leverage and capitalize on the talents of everyone.
So you're doing a lot of destigmatizing.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. And people need to understand this and kind of go with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think? You've shared so much, and it's really interesting what you're doing. What do you think is the most gratifying part of your work?
Well, I think the fact that by really focusing on our programs, our policies, you can have an incredible difference in people's lives. So I was just at a women's leadership event last week. And, you know, so many women came up to me after my segment around how can we get to more gender equity? What are the problems that we've identified around this dimension of diversity? How can women both embrace their ambition and achieve more? But then what is the firm trying to do to meet that ambition with opportunities, with flexibility, with sponsorship? And so many of them said, I feel so energized and inspired about what I'm doing at PwC, and I'm so proud to work here. I'm so proud that we have a CEO who takes diversity really seriously. Tim Ryan has been an outrageously positive advocate for us. He was just elected to that position last July, and he's really taken on difficult conversations, candid conversations, race in the workplace. And he's mobilized his peers, and we've done a huge event that we're doing on November 10th with CEOs, right? So mobilizing, galvanizing CEOs to take action on diversity and to say leadership starts at the top. We all have to be responsible and accountable for this. And so seeing that difference every day is very gratifying. I'm very clear about my purpose. I scored very high on my energy audit.
Excellent.
Around my spiritual energy. And it was actually the distraction piece of mental energy that I need to work on, right? The not answering every email the minute it's sent. The juggling all of the different stakeholders and people who are, you know, vying for your time and focus. I do feel like I have the best job at PwC.
Well, you certainly do. And it doesn't surprise me that you're among the 100 best companies. So how does it feel?
First of all, we are so proud of our collaboration and a relationship with Working Mother, which has been decades now. Very proud to be in the top 10.
Awesome.
That recognition means a lot. It's an important external benchmark for us. And these conferences and working with Joan and Suba and the team really allows us to always be focused on what is best, right? We know we're doing a lot of great things. We have a lot of structures and programs and policies in place, but we want to aspire to be even better. And Working Mother is our beacon telling us what's new in the marketplace, what's the future. I just sat through a futures panel, which was very exciting and interesting, around what's around the corner, what's coming, what's the future of work. We want to be the best place. We want to be a destination for talent.
Excellent. And you will be, no doubt. So maybe just a little advice. What would you say for busy professionals who want to tackle challenges and really excel in their roles?
Yeah, I think it's about relentless prioritizing, right? We can't do everything.
No.
We all get the same 24 hours, and we have to manage our energy, not the time. And I think that when you're clear about your priorities, both on the home front and in the workplace, that is when people feel at their best, at their most productive. They're able to have boundaries over what they say yes to and what they say no to. And again, as I mentioned, PwC, we have 50,000 professionals in the U.S. firm, 220,000 globally. And we trust our people to make very important decisions for our clients, to be trusted advisors, and they need to apply those same skills to their lives. Because they know how to do it. It's just that we all get overwhelmed.
They have to trust themselves.
Exactly. I think that's a very important point. And again, we're all about building trust in society. So trust in your teams, trust in yourself, and trust that we will get to the right answer if we work together.
Right. Trust is a running theme that threads throughout. Excellent advice, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Okay, so one last super easy question. Where can people find out more about you and PwC?
Well, thanks so much. So PwC.com has all of the information about the firm and about our diversity strategy and what we're trying to achieve in the world. I would love if your listeners could download Pursuit of Happiness. It is an Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, so all you have to do is on your phone say PwC, Pursuit of Happiness, and we have 7 episodes up right now, and I just was recording another one last week in Washington, D.C. I would love your feedback. You can leave feedback on Apple Podcasts as well, which I would love. We would love to hear from everybody.
I'll be listening.
Thank you.
Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing your insights, your advice, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, so thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Deirdre.
You're welcome. And also a big thank you to Working Mother Media for inviting women worldwide to be podcasting on site at their Work Beyond Summit. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into the show. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.